C# is a nice language and all, but sometimes you just gotta get some JavaScript in the house. Let's mash on that. Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, I'm gonna take a look at Node services and how you can use Node directly from your ASP.NET application. Okay, let's get started. The first thing we're going to want to do is add a reference to the Microsoft Node Services package. So, of course, this can be done in our friendly project.json file here. So I have added Microsoft.ASP.NET Core Node Services here, and I've taken the very latest version, which is still, as you can see, a fairly early beta of this service. I've also had to bump up the version of the console logging module to 1.1 because it was a dependency of Node Services here. So I'm sure this will all be updated in the next tooling release. Okay, now we're going to need to register Node Services inside of our startup. Couldn't get much simpler. We've just done services.addNodeServices. So that's going to bring in iNodeServices. Yeah, so we'll just uncomment this code. Whoop. Do it properly this time, though. There we go. And we'll need to bring in a package reference for that. So NodeServices is a very simple interface. It has pretty much just one main entry point. Shift. Control. So that is invoke async. And invoke async takes a variable length set of arguments here. So this is the second one, it's just a parameter set here, so you can put additional parameters on here. And this first one here is the name of a module to load. So I've gone and loaded this very simple module here called test. And we can open up test.js here, and we can see that it is a pretty simple Node module, and that all it does is take in a name and then just call name.length in this callback here that's passed in. So this callback here is injected by the Node Services and expects to be called once the process is complete, and you can pass in any sort of result that you want. So if you were looking to pass back something that was a little bit more complicated than just this length here, you could pass back an entire structure and then just map it to a C# class on the other side. So let's give this one a shot here. So we're just going to find out how long this string is here, and I'm just going to throw it in the view bag. And let's go and spin that up. There's nobody else here today to tell any jokes while we wait for things to compile. There we go. Okay. Okay, so there we go. I just printed out the variable right here. So that string is 24 characters long. So that is being fed from Node.js straight to here. So this is not super useful, but there are a lot of Node modules out there, a tremendous number of Node modules. So chances are there's one out there that does something a little bit better than the way you could do it inside C#. One that I quite like is PDFKit. So I have gone and I'm going to create a PDF using Node.js here. And I'm just going to remove the shift key off my keyboard. I don't even know why I have it anymore. It's just breaking all my video recordings. But anyways, I'm going to uncomment this get document here. So this is a fairly simple function. Again, I'm just going to generate a temporary file name here. I'm going to pass that in as an argument to this build PDF module. I'm just going to set the content disposition coming back, because otherwise I'll end up with just a random file name coming back. So I'm going to call it output.pdf. And then I have this file exists here. So we for debugging purposes, we can take that out. And then I'm just going to pass back a file stream, basically, that contains the contents of that PDF, and I'm going to set the type here to application/PDF, which is a nice short content type, unlike what you might get if you were passing back a Word document whose content type is comically large now. Okay, so let's take a look quickly at this build PDF here. So I wrote this in TypeScript, but it's pretty much just plain JavaScript here, so it's fairly simple here. I'm going to require in the PDF kit. I'm going to require in the file system so that we can write out this file somewhere to disk, to the temp file here. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to set this up as like my default export here. So export equals build. This is just a TypeScript way of setting up a JavaScript that would look like this right here with module.exports on it, which is what's necessary to load these things using require. And then I'm going to generate a new PDF here from PDF kit. I'm just going to log something out here to the console so we can take a look at how that works. Then I'm going to tell PDF kit where to write this file, and I'm just going to add a link to google.com. We should change that. There. Now I can host this video on a Microsoft site without getting in any more trouble than I normally get in. All right, so let's spin this one up here and see what happens. Okay, so this site is loading again, and we'll just go to get document here and pull this up, and there we go. We've got a PDF downloaded here, and it contains a link to bing.com, very safe sort of link. We can just click on that and see what awesome background image they happen to have today. So that's pretty much all that's necessary to call out to Node. This is not super efficient, but it's actually not terrible. I haven't done any proper benchmarking on it, but I don't feel like the actual call out to Node is taking a super long time. The Node processing itself, of course, might take quite a while, but that is highly dependent on what you're trying to do. excuse me, this may seem like a little bit of a contrived example here. If we want to generate a PDF, there is some advantage to generating with PDF kit. It is pretty simple, as you can see, to just generate a PDF, probably a little bit simpler than most of the PDF libraries we see on C#. But one of the really interesting applications that you can use this whole thing for is to generate isomorphic applications. So that is a $6.50 word, which basically means that we're going to pre-render the JavaScript content on the server side. So if you go to a website that is heavily dependent on JavaScript, perhaps it's using something like Angular or React in the background to make a single page application, you can find that these sites take quite a long time to load, and that's because they're downloading a lot of JavaScript resources and then they're having to like render a bunch of content on the page. So they're doing a lot of JavaScript work before they know what templates to apply and what things to put on the actual page itself. So what you can do is render this stuff on the server side, and because it's all done in JavaScript, it's fairly simple to just pass it right through Node.js and generate whatever the resulting HTML would be that the client would see after the JavaScript has completed its run. So we can just send the completed HTML down, and then we can tell whatever it is, Angular or TypeScript or React or whatever, Vue.js, hey, I've already built the DOM, just pick up where I've left off and make any additional diffs that you need to the DOM once you've finished your loading, which hopefully there won't be any on the initial one. So people still get the power of a single page application, and they don't have to pay that startup time quite so much because you're going to do all of that rendering on the server, and you can do it a lot more quickly there because you don't have to wait for a bunch of resources to download. Will that still be a thing with HTTP 2? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. My feeling is that it probably still will be a bit of a thing with HTTP 2, because there's still going to be a time that you have to spend to download the resources, and you can still bypass that and just go directly to the HTML. Anyway, we'll take a look at that in a future episode, but this is a quick introduction to Node services, so hopefully you can find some use for that, something you might want to play with in the future. Thanks a lot.